You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 21 May, SpaceX announces IPO details. Listing expected 12 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Kieran Whitten from Anchor. Last night's NVIDIA results. Earnings per share was expected 176 to 178. No surprise, they beat that by a bunch. We'll get his thoughts. We're going to be chatting with the Corporate Relations Director, UCT Investment Society. How they operate, how they grow, and is there a future in which they don't use simulated cash. And then John Bowling from Standard Bank Structured Products, the latest MSCI World product offering 100% capital protection. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Inflation hits 4% as fuel shock bites. We've got MPC rate decision next Thursday. Business Day, PSC backs 2.26 billion rand Baldwin buyout and JSC delisting. Consortium moves to take Baldwin with a little over 2 billion private. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 1.1%, NASDAQ 1.7% higher. The East is mixed, Sydney up 0.4%, Tokyo on a tear up 3.3%, Hong Kong is red, but a couple of points red, 0.02% down and Tencent off 1.5%. Commodities mostly green, gold futures 4,537, Brent is the red at 105.93, platinum's 1,940. For palladium, 1,373. Rand is 16.51. Bitcoin, 77,900. And top 40 opening call, green open, 450 points, 0.4% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Kieran Whitten from Anchor. Kieran, appreciate the time and video results. As I said in the intro there, earnings per share was expected a $1.76 to maybe $1.78. It came in at $1.87. All the numbers, I mean, revenue at $81, expected was $78. I mean, just big numbers everywhere we look here. We expect this kind of from NVIDIA. Your thoughts? I mean, obviously they're missing out on China, but other than that, they are selling chips hand over fist. This is not slowing down just yet.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, before the results, the market was looking to this to see if the chip rally had further to run. Otherwise, if the results maybe weren't so good, that would obviously reignite fears of an earnings bubble. That's, you know, there's this narrative the market hops to from time to time. And artificial intelligence and the CapEx narrative in the market does depend on what NVIDIA is saying. As you said, the bar was really high. The market was looking for 80% revenue growth. This came in at 85%, and they beat significantly more, actually, the further down the income statement you went. And the market really was looking for an excuse to call an air pocket, and looking maybe towards an AI slowdown. But instead, Jensen Huang has told us that the build-out of AI factories is the largest infrastructure expansion in human history. I mean, those are his words, not mine.
Yeah.
And a 91 billion guide for the next quarter, to be honest, makes it hard to argue otherwise. And it does seem, Simon, like this AI rally isn't built on software promises anymore. It really is backed now by hundreds of billions of dollars being spent in concrete physical infrastructure. NVIDIA's tough to read regarding the sentiment in the market going forward, but I do believe that the growth prospects are higher than the market is discounting. And I think the key concern from the market is that when you are this big, being $5 trillion in market cap, it's tough to keep growing so quickly. And the market, I think, is still maybe concerned about the durability of the earnings outlook. And just a word on the share buybacks, which is now getting similar to what Apple has been doing for a number of years. They've announced an $80 billion share buyback, which is obviously just enormous, and also a big increase in dividends.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are staggering. And I mean, the PE is now low 20s. The EV to sales is low double digits. I mean, this is not the crazy valuation it once was. So then a quick follow-up question. If we look broadly around this, the Mag 7 or perhaps the AI stocks or perhaps the hyperscalers, however we look at it, I mean, do you have a preferred there? Because at the heart of all of this is NVIDIA. All that CapEx spend, all that rollout, all that AI, NVIDIA sits at the heart.
No, exactly. NVIDIA does indeed sit at the heart. Simon, the Mag 7 are definitely more attractive right now than they have been previously. In the latest quarter, the earnings growth of these seven companies was 42% higher than the rest of the companies in the S&P 500. And on a valuation that is cheaper than it has historically been. It is worth pointing out that the dispersion amongst the Mag 7 has definitely increased maybe the past 12 to 18 months. And you definitely can actually generate some outperformance by just moving money around between the Mag 7 stocks. When one gets a bit cheap, it does tend to outperform after that. And the two ones that were looking particularly cheap, at least from our point of view, coming into this year was Amazon and Microsoft. With perfect hindsight, you could have said Amazon was a pretty obvious trade. It has done really well at the start of the year. But those are the two that we think are going to continue to perform well for the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. And we think the market is going to catch on to this. Our favorite has been Alphabet, but this has run really hard. And it's still a big position for us, but we are definitely, I think, going to start looking to trim Alphabet back a bit.
Yeah, I mean, Alphabet, what? I think it's probably almost doubled in the last 18 months or so. We'll leave it there. Kieran Whitten from Anchor. Appreciate the early morning time. That's our poll, LinkedIn and Twitter. Your thoughts on those numbers? The numbers are big. All of them are big, but it's beats left, right and center. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Rusian Kabela. He is Corporate Relations Director at the UCT Investment Society. Rusian, I appreciate the time. You reached out to me on LinkedIn a little while ago. You said that your first quarter report to end of April would be out soon. I have to say, in my day, investment societies were a couple of students and maybe a page or two of notes. This was a plus 100-page PDF document, and as good as I've seen, talk to me a bit about the society. How many members have you got? What is your sort of day-to-day action there?
Thank you so much for having me on, Simon. So just to briefly speak about the Investment Society, we are a professional development society, which is obviously geared towards the investment space. Mm-hmm. In regards to our membership, we have roughly 1,476 members. So this is a 24%. This is a 24% growth from the previous year, and this essentially makes us the largest investment society and student executive in South Africa. And you know, we like to also think that on the largest scale in the continent.
Certainly to South Africa, probably certainly to the continent. How did you get? I mean, 24% is massive growth. What have you done over the last year to get a sudden influx of members?
Yes, definitely. I think considering the growth, we were anticipating a year-on-year growth, maybe putting us in the 1,300 range. Mm-hmm. But I think given our acquisition strategy, we're quite aggressive in advertising the society and displaying it around the campus. And this is obviously getting in contact with various lecturers and student departments. That's also kind of encouraged students to get involved and join the society.
And I mean, the one thing what I do notice is you have different departments, different sort of divisions headed up by different members. And that perhaps is also equally important because, you know, you could go and be, I mean, you've got alternative investments, you've got the young women's professional part of it. There's a lot of different themes within the broader structure.
Yes, because the reason for that is we recognize that within the university landscape, there's also these students from various different disciplines, various different interests. So it's not only limited to investments, even though that's the overarching theme for all of the portfolios. So as you mentioned, we do have young women's professionals, as well as a social impact portfolio and a professional development portfolio, which is obviously geared towards preparing students for the workplace. But notably, our largest portfolio is actually our trading club, which year on year has over roughly 100 over 100 applications, and it's quite competitive considering that there's only 36 seats available in the training club.
And then, I mean, a student comes in and potentially in a first or second year, you would spend a couple of years. This isn't you're in for a year and you're out. I mean, you could stay as long as you're at UCT.
Yeah, so in my case, for example, I joined the society in my first year as an analyst in the trading club, and then I made a progression throughout the years until I reached, obviously, the corporate relations director role now in my senior year.
And I mean, the point being is, I mean, many of the members of this society, I imagine, are looking to go into the broader investment field one way or another. Some might just be looking to go into accounting, maybe banking. But I imagine some are just actually doing this out of interest and kind of going to use this as personal development, perhaps.
Yes, definitely. And just to touch back on the trading club, what we've seen is that it's got a variety of different academic disciplines. So this ranges from your students in the commerce space, as well as engineering students and students in the science space, where many students are interested in the concept of investing and want to somewhat get an experience. So the trading club obviously trades with simulated cash. So it offers that opportunity for students to learn. And obviously the portfolio manager in that case would obviously be more senior students who have a bit more investing experience, but even them themselves are eager to continue learning and understand portfolio construction.
And is it all simulated cash? This is more learning than it is about creating wealth.
Yeah, so currently it's all simulated cash, but a long-term ambition of the trading club has always been to eventually trade with real capital, and this is in line with international standards. Unfortunately, we've had the opportunity to interact with the international universities. This would be your Oxford Alpha Fund, who have their own student managed investment fund, as well as the Queen's University in Belfast. And we've kind of understood their structure. And currently we're in discussions with the university now to introduce the concept of a student-managed fund trading with real capital.
Okay, that would be absolutely epic. And how's it been? I said this was the quarter to end of April. I have lived my life through many different quarters in the trading world. This was quite a wild quarter. How did you and your colleagues find it?
Yeah, obviously, considering given the geopolitical climate currently, it's been a challenge for the portfolio managers, but I think considering that it's simulated cash, I think more than anything, it's been a brilliant learning experience. Actually, considering last night, we had the opportunity to go and do somewhat of a pitch day at the 91 offices to a few of their portfolio managers, and that was a brilliant learning experience for the portfolio managers. Obviously, they were given criticism, obviously, in the case that, or constructive criticism as to various, just in regards to portfolio construction, stock pitches, and so forth.
And I mean, I suppose, I mean, as you're talking around this, as I'm thinking about it, one of the biggest challenges must actually be juggling the involvement with the investment society, your academic work, which of course you've got to be doing at the same time, and then you're at university, so a social life as well. It must take a ton of hours.
Yes, definitely. But as you had mentioned before, we like to consider the investment society almost as a self-selecting model, in the sense that the students who do join it are students who want to be involved, really. Giving up the time isn't that much of a sacrifice, because this is what they'd be interested in doing in their own free time.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, from my experience, I mean, markets, if you're interested in markets, you've got a passion for it, it actually is the fun part. It's not the exams and the lectures. The markets are the fun part. We'll leave it there. That's Vincent Kobela. He's a Corporate Relations Director, UCT Investment Society. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Joining us, Jonah Bowling, Standard Bank Global Markets, new structured product coming out, the MSCI World Digital Plus. Jonah, always appreciate the early morning time. MSCI World Digital Plus, MSCI, let's start with that. This really is the global index, large mid-cap stocks. I think it's about, 23 developed markets. This is the be-all and end-all of global indices.
Morning, Simon, and morning, viewers. Yeah, thank you for having me again. And I think from our perspective, we, you know, there's, as you were saying earlier, there's a lot of geopolitical risk, a lot of uncertainty. You know, clients don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, our products kind of play into the hand of uncertainty because they all got built-in protection. And this specific one has got 100% capital protection built into it. And we kind of thought, let's go back to basics and let's not do anything too exotic during this time. So MSCI World was the obvious choice. being that it's a 23 developed markets, like you say, big solid blue chip companies, and really a bellwether for the kind of health of the economy globally.
Yeah, I take your point. And it is very much so. It's a sort of a back to basic. No auto call, 100% capital protection. In other words, client gets their money back. Return profile, as long as it's green by as much as a fraction, you'll get 37%. And anything above that, you get as well. So uncapped upside. Yeah. But as long as the index is green over, what's the period? 3.5 years.
3.5 years, yeah. 3.5 years, 100% protected, 37%. It's a dollar return, so it's listed locally in South Africa, but you're exposed to rand dollar as well. So obviously, a depreciation of the rand over the 3.5 year period enhances your return, and obviously, an appreciation kind of takes away from the return at the end of the period. But clients are quite happy to take rand dollar risk at this time.
And something you've done, and you did this with your China one, because I know, because I hold the China one, although it is still running, to be clear, it hasn't matured. At maturity, return delivered via the MSCI World Feeder ETF. In other words, I'll get ETFs out of this.
Correct. So you'll have the opportunity to either have ETFs, either to be cash settled, or we obviously, if it makes sense, then we reprice and we reprice a roll, meaning you can roll the investment for another 3.5 year World Digi Plus. And obviously, like you said, the benefit is it's uncapped. I just want to highlight as well, the index that we use is not the plain vanilla MSCI World Index. It is a 4.5% decrement index. Now, we have done this. We have used decrements a lot. We do use decrements in structuring. And obviously, the reason being is that essentially, if we had to price on the plain vanilla index or the total return or price return index, we get a much different payoff. So if we had to price that, you might find that we get a 20% payoff rather than a 37% payoff. So it suits a moderately conservative investor that wants protection, that doesn't, that doesn't think the market's going to go ballistic over the next, if you're overly bullish, you go straight into stocks, right?
Without
protection. These kind of suit an investor with a moderately conservative approach that want the protection. All it needs is a flat or positive outcome to get your 37% over 3.5 years, which kind of, substantially beats a much more attractive than money market returns over the next 3.5 years.
Absolutely. And the important point, and I glossed over it, but it's not an auto call. I've chatted with you, I've chatted with some of your colleagues around the auto calls, which essentially can expire at the end of every sort of anniversary year. This will run the 3.5 year period.
The 3.5 year period to its entirety. As long as you hold it to maturity, your capital is protected.
Minimum requirements, closing dates. What are the details in that regard?
So closing date, we've got more than enough time, 17th of June. Okay. Anything can happen with Trump and the war. 17th of June, you've got time. Minimum investment is 25,000 Rand. We're available on the Standard Bank's trading platform on SBG Securities or online share trading. But obviously, you can register via any registered broker out there, because we list our products on the JSE.
And that's an important point. Although these are designed for a 3.5 year holding period, you usually have these on the JSE. I can, T's and C's apply, exit early if I need to. Not what they're designed for, but if there's a need.
100%. You can exit early. We can create an unwind price for you. We don't know what that will be. It depends during the course of the term when that is. But yes, we can unwind these products for you during the term.
Yeah, as I say, I've got that China one, and I can see that sitting in my portfolio with an unwind price sitting there if I wanted to exit early. We'll leave it there. Jono Bowling, you find him, Standard Bank Global Markets, trading their new MSCI World Digital Plus. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We're chatting with Chantal Marks yesterday. She, of course, from F&B Wealth and Investment. We're talking the famous brand's results. They weren't a bad set of numbers. Dividend over 10%, HEPS up over 10%. But shares been going pretty much nowhere for 5 years. We asked you if you're eating out much these days. 40% said special occasions only. A quarter said when there's value, you definitely do. The rest split between regularly eating out and not at all. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a comment and an awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow. Municipal power pricing model under pressure.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.